Praise the Lord. But it's good to be in God's house. Good to see your face. And I'm believing God wants to do something for you. I believe God wants to open up some doors for you. I believe God wants to bless you. You know, I'm believing God wants to put you into the victory lane. He wants to, or like they do, into the victor's circle. He's got his eyes on you. He's got his eyes on each and every one of us. And I believe God wants to do that. And are you ready to hear the word? And if you're writing a title down today, I want you to write Unforgiveness, the Thief. And I'm telling you right now, I've been down that road. Well, yeah, you do. If you live in Louisiana, you know how these roads are. They look so pretty, and then a year or two later, they all crumbled up, cracked, and everything else. Basically, that's what's happened to us spiritually when we have unforgiveness in our hearts. We think everything's going good. Yeah, we're going good. God's blessing me. But if you got unforgiveness in your heart, be careful. Because God, you know, wants us to walk in forgiveness. And matter of fact, look in Matthew 18, 21 through 22. Now, probably if you haven't ever read this verse, I'm glad I'm giving it to you for the first time. I read it all the time, especially when I need to forgive somebody. But look at that verse right there. It says, then Peter came to him. Who him? Him, Jesus. And asked, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? No, not seven times, Jesus replied, but 70 times seven. In other words, that's telling me right off the bat, I got to walk in forgiveness. You think about it. You know, certainly you're not going to feel like forgiving your brother or sister that many times. Oh, it you know, I can tell you when it first happens, you know, inside of you just kind of cringes. Oh, I got to fucking forgive for that person, that evil person. But, you know, but deciding to walk in love, you're walking in God's love, not man's love. Because, you know, we need to understand. I'm going through some personal testimony with you with it. You got to walk in forgiveness. I don't care what people say, do, or whatever. You're not the bully on the block. Because why? Because you have, you got the love of God on you, and you not the love of man. And, you know, when we decide to walk in love, we're walking in God's love. You know, I mean, you can sit there. I mean, we get mad at the TV set. We get mad at whatever's going on we see or hear. We, you know, go down Reed Street. Or go down 31. There's a lot of forgiveness that takes place going from here to Fodies. You think about it. And probably just before you get down to Glenda's, you're really doing some forgiveness, especially when you're doing this number. But you understand what I'm saying? There's a lot of forgiveness that we got to do. We got to stay in the love of God and not the love of man. And, you know, and Jesus continues talking about this. And I want you to see this forgiveness scripture that we did a little different today. Because we've heard it over and over, and it's a lot of times to forgive somebody. But we got to have a pure heart before God. Now let's look at Matthew 18, verse 23. And we'll go all the way down to 27. Matthew 18, 23. And it says, therefore, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to the king who decided to bring his account up to date with servants who have borrowed money from him. Okay, now we all know the story, but I'm going to break this down a little bit for you so that where this unforgiveness is at. And he says, borrowed money from him. Verse 24, he says, in the process, one of his debtors was brought in who owed him millions of dollars. Now, debtors is one of his servants, right? So let's go to the next verse. He said he couldn't pay, so his master ordered that he be sold, along with his wife, his children, and everything that he owed to pay the debt. That's some rough times. Can you imagine nowadays if that would happen? I ain't go there. Verse 26. But the man fell down before the master and begged him, please be patient with me and I will pay it all. In verse 27, then the master was filled with pity, compassion for him, and he released him and forgave his debt. Man, you know, you think about it. If you owe banks, credit cards, whatever it is, on credit, cars, whatever it is, you're a slave. We're not going to be slaves to the banks, not slave to anything. Why? Because I don't want to be a slave just like we're talking about right here. But I want you to notice when we read in there, it says, forgave his debt. In the day slaves were bought, during that time, during the biblical time, the slaves were bought and sold. And servants of his family were about to be sold and to pay off this debt. Now, when I read that, you know, the millions of dollars, whoo, they'd have to lock me up. unless I get down big and ask him, whoa, man, I can't pay it right now. But you understand that the servant and his family were about to be sold to pay off this debt. But he pled with the king and he had patience with him. Man, you know, we have favor with God in things that we do, everything that we do. We have favor with God. We got to trust in God in the things that he puts in our hearts. So the king, what did the king tell him? Okay, I will forgive you of all your debt. Wow. Can you imagine somebody come up to you, somebody that holds the papers on whatever you borrowed or whatever, and comes up and says, I've just forgiven you of your debt. Jesus forgave us of our debts, right, of sin, by going to the cross and dying. How many people misuse that? You see, that we got to walk in forgiveness. Even Jesus said, forgive them, right? He said, forgive them. And what was he doing? He was hanging on the cross, bleeding for us, for each and every one of us. But we still take Jesus lightly, what he did? No. He died on the cross for us, and he asked for forgiveness for them because they didn't know what they were doing. Hallelujah. I want you to look at Matthew 18, verse 28. Matthew 18, verse 28. And he says, but that servant went out, and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, when he laid his hands on him, and he took him by the throat, and he says, pay me what you owe. He just got forgiven $1 million. Now he's going to go back to him, which was roughly about $17. That's a whole lot of difference, right? The servant had just been forgiven of a $10 million debt, and now he's choking another servant, and you know, pay me what you owe me, $17. Like $17 to that $1 million ain't going to pay that off too quick. But we have to understand that he has received mercy, but was unwilling, to have mercy on his fellow servant. Woo, that sounds familiar, don't it? I want you to look at Matthew 18, 29 through 30 now. Wow. Are you getting anything out of this so far? Yes. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him. Oh, that sounds like an instant replay with somebody else now. Fell at his feet, begging him, saying, I have patience with me. I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. How are you going to pay the debt in prison? But you see what I'm saying? He was forgiven, but then he didn't forgive this other guy for $17. Praise the Lord. But you know, he put his fellow servant under confinement. Think about that. And he held that man in bondage and took away his freedom for such a small debt. I want you to look at Matthew 18, 31 through 34. Boy, here's some whistleblowers. That's the big name you hear nowadays. Everywhere you turn, whistleblower doing this, whistleblower, whistleblower. But these whistleblowers went to the king, right? Because they saw what happened. So what does it say in verse 30, 31, it tells us, so when his fellow servants saw what he had done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that he had done. And in verse 32, he says, then his master, after he had called him and said to him, you wicked servant. Wow. I forgave you of all that debt because you begged me. Praise the Lord. And let's go on to the next verse, 33. And he tells us, should you not also have been compassionate on your fellow servant, just as I have pity on you? Verse 34, and his master was angry and delivered him to the torturer until he should pay all that was due him. What does that mean? That sounds like contradiction, doesn't it? But it's not. The king said, I have forgiven you of your debt, right? He established that fact twice when he gave it the first time, and he come back and said it again. And then he states that he'll deliver that servant to the tormentors till he could pay that was what was due. Wow. So it's not he changed his mind. He just turned him over to the tormentor, right? You know, is the king talking about the 10 million that the servant owed him? No, that's why he's not talking about that. He's not talking about that, what we just said about the 10 million. Because it can't be, because he had already forgiven that servant of that debt, and he can't charge him with that debt again. Right? He's forgiven it. You know, it's like you go to the bank and you go there and they put paid in full on whatever it is that you owe, and you take that home. The bank can't come back and say, oh, you still owe us this money. Oh, no, it's paid in full. So you can't do that. It's not what we're talking about here. And, you know, the king was not talking about that $10 million being, you got to pay me now. No, why? He's already turned him over to the tormentor. And, you know, what is he talking about, the tormentor? Is he referring to the debt of forgiveness? No. He's already received that forgiveness from the king, right? And Jesus closes with this parable. Now, I want you to look at this. Matthew 18:35, and he says, so my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. And he says what? Who is the tormentor? And everybody ought to know. It's Satan. It's the devil. So in other words, that king turned him over to the tormentor. And now in today's language, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about the devil. And you know, when he asked for forgiveness, the king forgave him. He went, grabbed a hold of his fellow servant and put his hands around his throat and told him to pay up now. Send his wife and kids and everything he owed to prison. You see how nasty that is? Jesus had that scripture in the Bible for a reason. For us. Because a lot of times we are forgiven. What did Jesus do on the cross? He forgave us. And what we do to other people. What we do to other Christians without asking forgiveness. Jesus forgave us. There's our forgiveness right there, because we're walking in the love of God, not the love of man. So to keep ourselves from falling to pieces, and I've seen it before, people have unforgiveness in their heart. They died prematurely. I've seen things happen to their lives because of what unforgiveness did for them. Unforgiveness, you say, well, I got the favor of God. You may have it, but you've got unforgiveness in your heart. You're not going to be blessed. I can tell you, it ain't going to happen. You know, somebody says, well, I mean, I had unforgiveness, but I received this money that I wasn't expecting. I said, well, I wonder what God wanted you to do with that money. Because he's not going to bless you with something that you know that you got unforgiveness and holding something against your fellow man or woman. I mean, God loves us. And he wants us to do the best. I mean, you know, he gives us a chance to show his love, like especially when we get our tithes and our offerings. And I've been to some churches, they put a dollar in. They didn't ask the Holy Spirit what they should give this week. And a lot of times, you could tell, a lot of times I'll write out a check and I'll start to write it out. And the Spirit of God says, oh, no, that's all you're going to put? Well, yeah. I said, that's 10%. He said, well, I want you to give this. It's over 10. You see what I'm saying? That you give according to the Spirit of God as you give into the kingdom of God. And that's where God sees, Jesus sees our love for him by being obedient to his word. And you know, how can you do that? There's the scriptures in there. How can you do that? Put your money in there and then you got unforgiveness in your heart. Woo! Jesus talks about that too. But you understand that we're walking around like a powder keg waiting to explode. Why? Because we got unforgiveness in our hearts. And, you know, it's tough sometimes because some people, they do rattle your chain. Some people just get on the last nerve that you got. But you understand what I'm saying? That, you know, things go on in this world that we fall into, and then we got out, and then we start complaining and asking, you know, we got unforgiveness in our heart. Then we got people that may try to cut us off, people that try to do something, people that try to do things against us, and we start complaining. We start doing. We start saying things. We start wanting to stir it up. We want to let somebody else know. You know what they did to me? Hey, you know what? You know what so-and-so did to me? You be careful with them people. It don't work that way. No, we got to walk in forgiveness, in the love of God, not the love of man. Because I tell you what, I never seen a man go to the cross for me. I've seen Jesus, how you see it? Well, I read the Bible, and the Bible comes out, and it explains what Jesus went through on the cross for me. And you can personalize it, what Jesus did for you. And you know, that would make you think a whole lot before you go off and do something you shouldn't do. Yeah, and you know, we all do things because we're human. Our flesh wants to go do something stupid. What you mean stupid? Well, whatever stupid is to you, stupid is. But I'm just telling you that God wants to bless you right where you are. Because why? He loves you. How many times we've heard it in this church that God loves you. If God loves you, we all need to love you. Right? Oh, I ain't going to sit by them people. They too grouchy old people. They sit around. They do all this. They talk the whole time. And they do this. They cut up and they do. No, God loves them just like he loves me. You know, it may be some things I do that you don't like. Praise the Lord. But you understand that we can come into God's house and we can come in worshiping him. You know, don't come here to wait to get ready for God. You get ready on the way here. So when you get here, that you can bring in the Spirit of God. You can bring in the glory of God right here. You may be the only one raising your hand. But guess what? They ain't going to stop you from your party, your Holy Ghost party. And I can tell you, just like anytime we come into church, just come in, you raise your hand. This church is, you're allowed, you can do it. You can raise your hand, you can shout, you can sing out of key. You can, it's best if you do, but you can sing out of key. You can do whatever you want. You want to jog, you can jog around it. This church is free. We're not being held back by Satan saying, you can't do that. All right, now, has anybody ever been anyone like that? You can't do that in this church. I'm the head usher here, and don't you move. Don't you get up and go to the bathroom. You go before you get. You understand how they do sometimes. They don't want you to do nothing like that. But this church is free. If you got to go to the bathroom, you go. It's better to go in there than in here. Think about it. Praise the Lord. I mean, you think about it. And you know, you know, so I've even heard some people say, well, I got a little cough, and you know, I go out and for you, and I cough, drink some water, whatever, and I come back in. There's nothing wrong with that. It's better than staying home and coughing and not coming in to receive your healing. You can sit at home all day and cough, but you get into God's house, and this is where it's at. This is electrifying. This is where it's happening. This is where God, the Spirit of God, is moving in this place. And I want to be in that presence of God moving in my life. So what's that mean? I've got to get all this unforgiveness out of me. Is it all out? No, it ain't all out. It's still, every now and then, the Spirit of God brings something up. I say, oh, where'd that come from? I said, you need to start putting a date on it. And I look at it and see if it's, you know, it might be something from the 1960s. Oh, man, I ain't forgave those people. They already did. Yeah, you understand what I'm saying? And, you know, and then you come along and all of a sudden the Spirit of God puts something else. Oh, God, man, when is all this going to be over? And it ain't over till God says it's over. Because God knows more than he, some of them I forgot. He brought and I said, oh, I remember them. Yeah, that was a long time. That was up in Mississippi. You know, but I guess I can forgive them. So I catch them on Facebook and I say, hey, man, I just sent them a message. Man, remember what all we did over there? I said, man, we were wrong. I, you know, forgive me for that. And he said, what did we do? So I said, it don't matter what, just take it. That's all I want you to do. Take this, put paid in full on that. So you see what I'm saying? That the tormentor is the devil. And you know, Jesus said that unforgiveness will put you in the hands or the power of the devil. You know, so, yeah, God turns us over to all that. No, we do it to ourselves. He just says, ask, you know, forgive people. Forgive them. But you just don't know what they did to me. I don't know, but God, Jesus said, forgive them. I don't know what they did. You don't know what people did to me. But he said, forgive them. Forgive them. Because unforgiveness is a thief. He steals. That steals. And he turns us right over to the tormentor. And all we got to do is ask God to forgive us. And then get right back into the Spirit of God. Get right back into the fellowship with the Spirit of God. You know, because why? He forgave us. He's given us that freedom. And then guess what? Everything's okay. And you know, you may have heard me say this before. And then when you mess up again, you go back to the Lord and say, Lord, I done messed up again. Guess what? God's going to say, what did you do? What you mean, messed up again? Remember, God says he forgets it. We don't. God does. We got to learn to be like God to forget those things. When we ask God to forgive us, let's forget it. But, you know, the devil sitting over there up on top of his little Halloween stuff, sitting over there. Yep. Uh-huh. Watch this. He'll put something right back in there and make you go goofy again. And you got to ask God, God, forgive me again for doing this again. He says, I don't remember. I don't remember. What'd you do? I forgave you and I forget it. I do that so you can move on and so that you can do what I have told you according to my word. So forget it. And human beings don't want to forget nothing. We keep it all in here. We keep a diary of things we got. Well, I'm going to get this person. Next time I see them over here at the supermarket, I'm going to get them. I'm going to take stuff out of their basket. I'm going to put stuff in their basket. I'm going to get even with them. I mean, they got people like that. But you understand what I'm saying there? We need to walk in forgiveness. We need to not, when we see them, you don't have to go up there and give them a hug. You can wave across the store. But you understand that, you go in, and when you see somebody that maybe done you wrong, you wave. Hey. And they're going to sit over and say, what's going on with them? But you see what I'm saying? That we need to walk in God's love. Not man's love. We don't impress man. We don't have to impress God because God already loves us. Ain't nothing we can do, nothing that we can say to make God love us anymore. I mean, you think about it, what Jesus did in Calvary. He died for us. But we need to also understand that I'm not saying that every tragedy occurs because an individual will not forgive. But unforgiveness is one of the major causes of tragedy, and it will put you into Satan's hands. I can tell you, When you open that door to unforgiveness, without any forgiveness in your heart, you open the door to Satan, to let him in. And there's going to be all kinds of stuff to happen. You mean I'm going to have tragedy? You saying I'm going to have tragedy? I'm not saying you are. I'm just saying you better be careful. Because Jesus said it in his word that Jesus says that we are being turned over to the tormentor. And that's Satan. And it will open the door to the devil, and you will be in the tormentor's hand until you forgive. You know, forgiveness is to me, is one of the biggest roadblocks for Christians. You know, I mean, we say we're a Christian, but then we act like the world. You know, that's we got to have God's love, not man's love. Let's do things for God, not for man. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Did you get anything out of this today? Glory to God. And now I want to open it up to you today. You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to do anything, but just stay right where you are today. If there's any unforgiveness in your heart today, and you want God to forgive you of that unforgiveness, and you're ready to forgive and forget, and know that you searching for the love of God and not the love of man. If that's you today, I want you, well, everybody, just repeat. I know everybody's got some type of unforgiveness. I just want you to repeat after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you. I praise you, Lord. I thank you that you have forgiven me. And I have now forgiveness in my heart. Because I've asked you to forgive me for unforgiveness that I have towards someone. I thank you, Lord, that you are my Lord. And I follow you. And I love you, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for breaking that chain of unforgiveness in my heart. Thank you, Lord. I am set free. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.